Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Thursday, July. It's July 1st, folks.
July 1st. Welcome to Neverland.
Yeah, I know. And I'm supposed to be pretty straight this morning, so I don't know what's going on. But at any rate, good morning, Tori.
Good morning.
We have a great guest sitting here. We'll bring him in just a second. I wanted to... the weekend's coming up. And I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, but you know what I am planning on? Friends called me yesterday, and they're like, do you want to go to Burning Man?
Mm. Oh, God,
and
Sam.
I want to go to Burning Man.
Are you going
to
go?
I think, yeah.
Oh, my, Sam, you got to be careful. There are some heavy-duty-ass drugs out in Burning Man.
Right? Dude. Well, I won't get to those. You know, I'm good with my pot and stuff, but...
It's going to be fun. I mean, but you have to be extremely open to, like, total hippies.
Right. And I think we could do it, you know. Although people still say, you know, take like a camper, like an RV.
Yeah.
And then it's not really like roughing it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's so not you're going like to just do it in the tent?
No tent. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Yeah.
You got to glamp it up if you're going to Burning Man.
Right. Then you want to have a bathroom.
Yeah.
The kitchen and whatever, you know.
But you also, I think Burning Man has turned into what, you know, Coachella is. It's like a rich person's hippie thing.
It is because it costs a lot.
It costs a gazillion dollars. And now, so it's like rich people going when it used to be like, my cousin was like the first Burning Man, like an original hippie. So like, it's become kind of a Coachella thing now. But hey, I think it'd be rad.
Yeah, I know. I think so. So I don't know. We figured that without any other expenses, just to be there is $1,000 for 6 days, you know?
It's like going to Disneyland now.
Yeah, you know, it's like $150 a day.
Damn.
And then it's like $600.
Yeah, but it should be a life-altering magic experience, right?
Like my friend said, it's a bucket list item, you
know?
I mean, you don't want to
exactly
pass
on
that.
Right.
So I might actually go. We'll see how it works out.
I want to hear all of the stories.
Right?
All of them.
That would be cool. But I don't know. I haven't roughed it up like this in a long time.
This will get cross two things off your list: camping and like doing something on your bucket list.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
So good luck.
Like,
I'm very excited
a big
for
festival.
You. It's gonna be a
well,
lot.
Well, I haven't decided to go yet, but once I do, I'll announce.
Okay.
It's actually the end of August, beginning of September.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like this coming weekend. See, I don't know when it was.
No, not this coming weekend. I would have had to obviously plan.
Yeah, I was like, how are you gonna do all this?
Yeah, no. Also I think like RV rentals probably go up like through the roof during that time.
You should get it now.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we should. So I'm not good at planning in advance, but I got to get better at it. You know, it's probably too late already to get RVs at a good price. You
could probably try something.
Yeah, who knows? But we'll definitely try to go. So that would be cool. You know, some bonding with friends and stuff. That would be nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever been to like things like this? Have you ever been to a rave maybe? Or?
I'm like such, I was a goody two-shoe. Like, a lot of my friends have. And when I studied abroad in Italy, I went to a lot of these like overnight clubs.
Right.
But yeah, they're fun. I mean, you just have to be able to hydrate, have a bathroom, and have some maybe like sanitizer and you're good. You're totally fine.
It's so funny that you say that because when I went for a rave, all I did was drink and go pee every 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, were you on any drugs or no?
Yeah. Ecstasy.
On ecstasy makes you have to pee all the time.
Yeah.
And drink. Yeah. So I'm not saying that, but I'm someone who also gets thirsty all the time without ecstasy.
Right.
So, and raves are just like, for me, I have social anxiety in terms of like, well, I think I'd be fine if I did two shots of whiskey and had some fun. I think I'd be fine, but I would not want to be on drugs in that. I think I'd be so scared.
Even if you were with a group of friends, do you?
Yeah, maybe you're right. I have no idea.
You'd feel safer with them.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know. Yeah, it passed me by when I was like, oh no. Now I'm like, fuck, I should have done that.
I know. And everybody eating candy and shit
and
like
sucking
this,
on lollipops on down. Yeah, dude. Your mouth goes into overdrive. No, I was the goody two shoe. I really was. I was like, I drank and that was it.
Yeah.
Mm.
I grew up on a lot of partying. But,
well, you were in the 70s in Vegas.
The 70s and 80s, yeah. I mean, Quaaludes galore, man.
I love that you love Quaaludes. I think that's so funny.
I did. I don't think I could handle them anymore.
Does it just make you tired? You said
no, it makes you like a zombie almost.
But
I mean,
why do people like it?
It makes you tired, but But it's definitely not like an upper, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you like want to touch and feel
like,
and kind of
like
sex
an ecstasy feeling.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know? It makes you like totally numb, you know? Yeah. Completely numb.
The lewds.
The lewds. So the,
the lewds.
That's what we partied
Your
with.
DJ name would be DJ Lewd.
Yeah, right.
DJ Quaalude. Coming up, stage two.
Stage two, indeed.
Yeah.
So before we get to our guest story, anything new that we want to report on our president that we haven't heard about?
Well, there was a really good burn by Hillary, which I always love when she has something planned. She went and did a talk on technology and how fake news and the cyber attacks from WikiLeaks really hurt her campaign. And she was sitting in a red leather back chair that looked like she was on The Voice. I definitely thought she was on The Voice, which my friend said. That was so funny. But she was very candid about this election, and she went through a whole timeline of WikiLeaks and how they planted and Facebook. And I wish she had just freaking done this on the freaking campaign, because it made a lot of sense. But anyway, she was speaking, and of course she baited Donald into tweeting something and saying like, oh, crooked Hillary, blah, 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 fuck yourself. And Hillary wrote, people in covfefe houses shouldn't throw covfefe, which is the word that he messed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right.
So she got like 100,000, like a million retweets. So she killed. So yeah. She burned him really bad. So it was a great, great troll on her part.
Yeah.
So, but you know, we're waiting to hear about the Paris Accord. I was wrong yesterday. I want to make sure you guys know. He has yet to, it's more of a waiting game show than I thought. He has yet to say. The word on the street in D.C. is that he will pull out of the Paris climate deal. But again, he's making this like an episode of fucking Celebrity Apprentice, so we won't know until next season. So it's so stupid, but the world will laugh at us in the future, and it's laughing now. So hey,
now did Clinton take any responsibility for losing, or was
I will say they her first question was, do you take responsibility? And you know me, diehard hippie liberal, blue and blue. She could have said, I didn't speak out to the rural population. I didn't speak out to the Pennsylvania, Ohio group that I really missed. I didn't use Twitter, or I didn't use safety in terms of hacking. No, she didn't.
Right.
So she just went on the offensive. And they tried several times to get her to say, hey, what did you do wrong here? And she just wasn't built. She's just not she's like, Obama would have been fine kind of like riffing. She's not a likable, malleable, flexible candidate. She's like, here are my talking points and I sound like a log. And I love her, but she's not a likable person. You know what I mean? So
that's true.
It's
not like Obama. That's for sure.
Oh God. He would have been like singing and everyone would have been happy and I've been crying and the whole shebang. But I it's interesting. She did have a hard time coming up with anything to say bad about herself, which I thought was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, Sean Spicer was asked, what does covfefe mean? Did you hear this?
No.
He did the press briefing off camera, so no one had to see him. They had 16 hours to come up with what covfefe meant. What happened is he probably fell asleep writing coverage, is the word, right? Coverage, and he fell asleep.
Wow.
But no one saw it for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So he said, this is his response, on audio only, the president and a select few people know exactly what covfefe means. What? Are you trying to tell us it's a word?
It's a word.
Are
it's
we in fucking crazy town?
Wow.
So everyone hysterically started laughing. The press started laughing and they started screaming, well, what does it mean, Sean? What does it mean? He was like, I'm not answering this question. And then he left the press briefing room.
He's going to leave soon.
Dude, he looks.
I don't see him surviving.
I've never seen anyone look so sad in my life. He has to say covfefe was a real word. Poor guy.
Oh my God.
That's so embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, a lot of stuff there, but we're going to get to our guest right now. We're sitting here patiently. We're joined by Mr. Keith Liddell. Welcome to the show, Keith.
Oh, God, thank you so much. You know what? Speaking of covfefe, everybody was looking at this freaking ugly phone like it was a ticking time bomb. When I put it on the edge, they said, oh, my God, we're going to knock this thing off. It's almost like a little bit of a dual admiration. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It's, you know, just, you know. Anyway, what do you guys think about social royalty?
What is social royalty?
Social royalty?
Kobe Bryant type of thing.
Oh.
You know, the new version of what I would like to be like Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
You'd like to be like Kobe Bryant?
And like you too, Sam, by the way.
Oh, he'd like to be like me too.
Radio.
Wow. There we go. Big
there
fan.
There
Big fan. Keith, you came to us from, you moved here from where?
Chicago.
From nice. Chicago. So you grew
my husband's
up in Chicago.
I did. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. What was it like growing up there, man?
Cold, buddy.
Really?
Very cold, right?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And do you have a big family?
Somewhat. You know, we're actually
somewhat. 20
now.
Brothers and sisters.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but we're now actually more so in the Southern Florida region.
Much warmer. That makes much warmer.
Yeah, but you know, the water sucks.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah. Well, our water is not that great either here.
No,
it's
but look
freezing.
At the scenery though. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So so you grew up in how many siblings do you have?
I have one.
Oh, one sibling. Okay, so it's not a big family.
And then I have a you know, stepbrother. But
oh, I see.
It's
okay.
Like a, you know, merge thing.
Very
merge.
Cool.
Merger.
Yeah. Did you have a nice childhood there?
I, you know, God, it sucked. No, no, it was okay.
Really?
I mean, it was okay. 1 to 10, it was a 1. No.
It always sucks.
Chicago was a great place, you know, and I think it's so hyped up with the media. Oh, it's so dangerous. It's so this and that. It's not that bad.
I love Chicago.
It's so much fun, you know. We only have, you know, AK-47s every now and then.
Every now and then. They give it out at Walmart. Every now and then. But Chicago is one of the best towns ever, really.
Really?
It's one, oh,
I
my
really
God.
Need to
I love Chicago.
Wow.
I love all
so
my friends from
when
Michigan.
When you're a tourist,
there.
Where would you go there, for example?
Oh my God! The downtown Navy Pier, is fantastic. North Shore,
you just walk along the water and then you're in the city at the same time. It's very cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And they got the lake too, right?
Really
the
good restaurants, front. Really great food, really great bar scene, really good people. Like the Midwestern people are just very. It feels like you're kind of in Europe a little bit more like that.
Oh, wow.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just
the
more
closest,
welcoming.
The closest I've been to Chicago was. Well, I was in Minneapolis, and I was also in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
you know,
Midwest people are just great.
Right.
They're just through and through
no,
nice
they really
people.
Are
yeah,
nice,
it's weird.
Personable people, right?
Yeah.
Very nice, genuine people.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
like
honest.
You, for example.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a teddy bear.
A good representative of Chicago.
Very much
a big,
so.
Huge city.
Yes,
thank you so
huge,
much.
Huge, big
really
teddy bear. I love
you
it.
You guys are awesome.
So, Keith, you do a lot of things. You're a boxer. You're an author and you're a mathematician. Now, we don't meet a lot of mathematicians here every day, so we'll talk about
this.
That too, yeah. But
and you also hold the Guinness Book of World Records.
Right.
For the fastest punch in the world.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know what? They say that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, they say that, but apparently you have been
45
selected.
Miles per hour or something?
Yeah, 44
and
45.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. So now, how did this come about? This like, how did they find out about you? How did this come about?
Well, you know, I've been boxing for 15 years.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And turning pro as well. From boxing from when I was literally doing mini tournaments, beating up gang members, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
Seriously. And then literally going into tournaments. And when they saw me at a couple of these tournaments, you know, then they said, well, you know what, this guy, you know, let's measure how fast he's going, right? And I had some professional trainers too as well. You know, Lim Muhammad, I think I mentioned him before. And this guy, you know, he teaches you about speed and power. And it turns out that I was moving a little quick.
Wow. Very cool.
So did you always have a fast punch? Always.
I did.
Yeah,
but I just didn't know, you know. Actually, one time when I was in sixth grade, this kid, you know, he tried to, you know, jump me or something. And I punched him in the hand. I broke his hand.
Wow.
I swear to God. I didn't know I did it. I just, and I came back. He came the next day with a wrap.
Wow.
White wrap around his hand. Yeah,
right. Nice. Now, being able to have a fast punch, are you able to break like bricks and things like that?
It's
like
yeah.
people do, really?
Bricks, steel, for really? Some reason.
Damn.
I just have a fat bone structure.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. Cool. I feel like in an emergency, I would definitely want you like nearby me at
yeah,
all
right.
times. Yeah.
I would protect you guys.
Yeah, probably. I would be like just, I would hog his leg and just hold on.
Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Yeah there you
it's
go.
It's incredible.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So when did you become interested in boxing?
Oh, when I was just watching Ali growing up.
Really?
You know, Mike Tyson, another favorite of mine. These were the guys that kind of just molded my character and also, you know, the athletic persona, what I wanted to actually pursue. And I think when I saw these guys in action and their professionalism, they were great.
Yeah.
They brought, you know, authenticity to the sport. They brought poshness. And I wanted to show that type of, you know, relevance within the sport and in life itself.
That's so true because I just watched an Ali documentary on the plane that was amazing that I'll recommend. I think it's called Muhammad Ali, but it was all about his past, and I didn't know a lot about when he protested the war, the stuff that he was saying. The most eloquent, most sexy, I mean, I was turned on in the air plane. I swear to God, this guy brought a pizzazz and an eclat to that sport that you had never seen.
Right.
And I think that's why he was the greatest of all time, other than being so good at boxing. I think he created a different type of sport and an athlete. And that's not Kobe Bryant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It leads to that. I don't know if I'm saying that's Kobe Bryant as the greatest of all time, but I'm saying it leads to celebrities and athletes having their own brand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, but he was the first.
And he didn't have any qualms about, you know, talking about himself.
And talking about pacifism in a way that you don't hear boxers talk about. Yeah. I mean, he spoke about, what did they do to me in Vietnam? They didn't do anything to me, so why am I going to go there and kill their brothers and sisters?
Right.
It was fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear the same relevant talk about stuff today.
That's true, yeah. He's still alive, though, right?
No, he passed.
Oh, he just passed a few months ago, right?
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah, he just passed.
Yeah. Well, he had Parkinson's, too, right?
Yeah. Which is such a shame.
Pretty bad. Last year he died.
Yeah, but he was right in the brain. I read all about him. He was just fine.
Yeah, the brain
is fine. So it sucks because he was like such an athlete and his body broke.
Right.
But he was so right there still till the end.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's a terrible thing to watch, I'm telling you.
Yeah, his father has Parkinson's, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But you know what? I'm so happy that it's not the kind of Parkinson's where you move.
The shaking.
And stuff like, because they can't sit still, some people, you know? Their muscles just work on them. My dad is just stiff, you know, so it's good because I thought if he had the other kind, man, I don't know how we could handle it.
Well, you know, cannabis oil.
You can't take him in public or anything.
Well,
you know?
And cannabis oil has been shown to really help tremors.
I know.
It's with Parkinson's and stiffness, so you should look into that.
Stiffness too?
Yeah, the CBD oil.
Yeah. Because I know the shaking, they were saying that it helps some people, but...
It's dreadful.
We need to see about the stiffness. Yeah.
And for such an athlete, I can imagine for you, like, all of a sudden your body breaks down. I don't know. That's your instrument as a boxer, you know?
It is. It's one of the key. And you know what? You have to always keep your mind symbiotically with your body in tune. I'd use another big word.
It was a really good word. Change for that $5 word right here.
She's just killing us with the, you know, what was that word you used before? Is
eclat?
Oh, my God. What is that? It sounds like a Klingon.
I found it from the crossword. It means like pizzazz, like poshness.
Eclat.
Like polish.
Isn't it like Star Trek?
Klingon. Klingon. It sounds like Klingon. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that was fantastic, by the way. It was.
Yeah. Keith, what's with the flash? It's like right in my eye, man.
Do we want to do this? And I know that I'll just take it off. I mean, I know he's been looking at this thing since I put it.
I get very distracted.
He does.
Because,
he gets distracted by it.
So he's filming the show. And so the flash is like continuous, and it's right in my eye.
Okay.
So,
I'm literally going to turn it off now, guys.
Bye.
Yeah, you don't need to tape the whole show. No. You got a little bit of it. There you go. Now we can focus on the show. So. This is cool. So you moved to L.A., was it recently?
I moved to L.A. technically about 3 years ago, for sure. But I have been coming here off and on for years.
Really? What's attracting you to this town?
You know what? The industry, as you know, I am pursuing kind of an acting career as
nice.
Well.
Okay.
With one actor's credit on IMDb.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, you got to take
a first
step.
Somewhere.
Somewhere, you know. And I want to show that eclat. I'm just going to keep duplicating that. And I used to call it Persian. That Persian, you know, etiquette. And that's why I keep mentioning Kobe Bryant, because I think that this guy is at the apex. And I don't know. He shows a different side of what I believe is completely non-traditional.
Right.
That's what I wanted to go for.
Right.
To show that hey, I can do this.
And LA is a place for non-traditional.
Oh, well, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He wasn't very traditional in that hotel room with that girl a few years ago,
right?
He
was very traditional.
He was very traditional.
He was very traditional. That's the only thing that's traditional about it.
And that was, you know, that was kind of a flaw.
Yeah. That was a big screw up, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
His wife stayed with him, right?
I think she left and came back and now is gone again.
Oh, really?
I think. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she did. And that's exactly what Tori said.
Yeah, I mean, because it's so like embarrassing and shameful to be part of this in the public like that.
I mean, we talk about Ali and his commitment to marriage and love, and then, you know, to Islam. And then you talk about Kobe Bryant in a hotel room. We have come a long way. And I don't know if it's a good way or a lot. But then you also have people like, for instance, oh God, what's his name? My dad represents him. He plays for the Pistons. Oh, Grant Hill. Grant Hill, is a Piston, and he's a fantastic family guy, plays piano, loves his family. His father was a football player at Yale. So there are great athletes out there with professionalism, but there is, like, you do get the rap of, like, the Michael Jordans, when we found out he was just... He's just gambling and screwing everyone. Right. Really.
Yeah, exactly. He did. That was ridiculous.
Really, yeah.
And they always screw up with sex.
It's always the women.
It's the sex, man. It's like they can't keep that.
And guess who was in his little group? The squad was Mr. Tiger Woods. He got taken under Jordan's wing, and they all would go gambling together, and they'd be with women together. And you get into that, you know, role, and it's hard to get out of. You're at the top of the world. Like, imagine. You
can't say no, man. It's hard to say no.
Grant Hill.
But you guys are celebrities too. How do you deal with this?
We're celebrities.
You guys are celebrities.
In our own minds.
Yeah, in our own minds. Totally.
You guys are totally celebrities.
Sam, in our own minds. Tell that to my father.
I'm going to mention this. I mean, you guys were ranked number 8 with, if I can recall.
Well, but that was 2013.
The Talkers
Magazine.
And it wasn't a big in the deal, Frontier. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge deal. You guys.
That's true. It was at the time.
It was.
It is. It's 4 years ago. Nobody cares.
I care. You guys are definitely celebrities, and I think that you deserve that credit.
They should bring back
that credential.
I agree with that.
I totally
wholeheartedly. Ever since I joined, they should rank it again.
Exactly. They should.
Thank you.
But they don't do it anymore. I don't know why. They only rank like the heavy 100 in talk radio. You know,
so stupid.
That's ridiculous.
But at any rate, besides the point, we're not celebrities by any means. We don't have people jumping on us in the street.
Except for homeless people.
People don't give a shit who we are.
I totally disagree with that.
Okay, so That's so nice.
I believe that they're really hardcore celebrity. They're very modest.
That's very nice. That's very nice. So how did you know, did boxing become a all over, when did math come in? This is what I want to know.
Oh, God. Yeah. Now, the math is funny about that.
Yeah.
I've been a mathematician ever since I was in third grade when I came with organic architecture.
Whoa.
Meaning that I was going to implement a living cellular entity within that structure. So living architecture, living structures. Mm. And then we're starting to get into nanotechnology and even a symbiosis in a way.
Wow.
Using that type of technology to make structures come alive.
Whoa. Are we talking about robots or things that move or both?
Hybrids. Organic material.
Right. You said organic, so it would have to be living things.
But,
right?
but a synthesis with a mechanical.
With a machine.
Yes.
Wow. Like a cyborg.
Yeah. Almost like a cyborg.
Almost like a Star Trek
cyborg.
But in
cyborg. A structure, in a building. And
so the building itself kind of is organic.
It's a living, but it's also definitely computerized.
Whoa.
Right.
And that was, you know, when I started the math career. And then I said, oh, my God. At first, I was told that I didn't have skill in it, believe it or not. But then I started to get published, which is on Cal State LA.
Wow.
The main campus is still there, and it's called the Pre-Big Bang Theory. Then I started writing something known as Perceptivum Analytica, which is...
It's Latin, right?
Definitely Latin.
Yeah.
Basically, analytical perception of how there are new and innovative tactics based upon the position of the universe. Right. For example, and this is kind of a long-winded, but this is just an example of Perceptivum Analytica.
I'm so into this.
A thousand billion years ago, the universe started at the time of 1 million millionth of a second and produced an explosion of 1 million volts of energy that exerted at a trillionth of 1 degree area. Our universe was then created at that time around 12.9 billion years ago.
Right. So it's not 14 billion like they said.
It's not. It's 12.9.
Okay, well.
It's not far off.
Like
just a billion.
It's a billion years. It really makes a freaking difference to us, right?
Totally. We got to really count that other billion.
Exactly. I'm not comfortable with this theory.
Right.
It sounds more like 14 million.
Yeah. That's. I mean, even that they could figure that out to me is like, I don't understand math at all. So it's amazing that you can think that way.
But that explosion you're describing, that had to come from a very small, condensed point.
You're absolutely correct.
Right?
And that was, of course, Enigma. Energized, neutral, inertial, gravitational mass acceleration.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
Wow. So in other words, they know that the world is, the universe is expanding. Thus, if you go back, you figured, well, it had to be very small.
Very small. This thing was, and then you have speed implemented at that time, too, at that point.
But see, like, what was before that?
Then you have talk about, and this is going to sound amazing, there was nothing.
I know. And we can't think of that, can we? Our brains can't comprehend
nothing.
But there
is something. The nothing, this is going to sound crazy. The nothing was literally what they call, it was nothing space, but it was reflected off of itself, meaning that there's an area of vast emptiness. Mm-hmm. But this emptiness is then gravitationally neutralized in a particle.
Whoa.
And then this particle reflects off of another particle.
Is that the God particle?
This would be kind of like the God particle, the pattern. Mm-hmm. So basically, this empty space is so light, is so luminous, that it's going to reflect off itself to create a blast, an energy blast.
Right. Whoa. But space is part of the universe, and so I don't understand how there was space before if space itself was created during that time. So what do you think?
I don't think it's the same thing as, like, is it? Or is it, like, dark matter or neutral?
Well, this is actually before that. This is before dark matter. This is before...
Before all of that.
Yeah, all of that stuff. And basically, what you have is a wormhole. You have something known as a telepathic shockwave, which is what became before the emptiness.
Dude.
And this telepathic shockwave basically created the enigma.
That started the explosion.
That started the explosion. Right. Enigma is just basically the pattern of this energy. Right. And they're saying, well, where did this telepathic wave come from? Well, it came from that point. The way it was positioned, that energy, when it was one millionth of a millionth, that energy positioned at that time,
right,
then created the explosion. So basically, it's the angle, the angular mass at which something is positioned that creates the energy. That's
makes
how
sense.
It started.
Makes sense. But you know what's the amazing thing about the dark mass that we're talking about? They can't really see it. They
right.
don't know what to do
That's
with it.
That's what they call God.
But they know it's there
right.
because it There's creates gravitation,
yeah.
right? There's gravitation there,
right.
and light gets bent and stuff,
yeah.
and you realize something's got to be there.
Something's there. People think that's what you call God, is because dark matter, you have really no explanation, although there's a force there.
Right.
What do you call it? People say, well, maybe that's the God
right.
of it all, you know?
And the amazing thing is what I'm reading, they made a pie chart. 5% of it is everything that we know. Everything that we know. 27% is dark matter, and the rest is shit.
We still
don't
know.
We can't even begin to know.
That's why I'm like, Sam, you got to believe in aliens, because if we don't know that amount of things, there's got to be more out there.
Well, maybe, but my question is this. Look, if this was a result of cosmic dust and everything, right?
Yes.
How come we don't have similar life on the planets near us? I'm not even talking about the far stars, okay? But the planets near us. Okay, you would think that a cosmic dust that's not, there's no intelligence behind it or something.
Yes.
We probably have more than one Earth.
Yeah, but it has to be perfectly situated next to a sun. So we, like, every other planet was too cold or too hot. So we
right,
have a perfect temperature.
But what if those people that, or people or creatures,
right,
whatever,
right.
they were adapted to that weather, just like we are here?
I think so, that there will be. It's just that they're light years away.
Well, but I think we know a lot about planets, though.
No, we don't know about light years.
Here's the thing about that, and we're talking about wormhole travel, which is actually an old concept, because people have done this
Star Trek
and Stargate systems. Now, about the nature and other things on other planets, they have found microorganisms that are actually in the evolutionary stages,
right?
Pretty much, and these can be anywhere from what they call perpetual space motion, which is what starts the catalyst of something to grow,
right.
and but
which we're talking probably about another 14 billion years just for those things
for it to completely
to be where we
or
are,
or were yes. they like done 14 billion years ago? Do you know what I'm saying?
Maybe,
you know,
maybe,
and now they've been extinct, and we're seeing their skeletons and fossils of that.
Right, yeah.
It's just so weird.
But all we can do is really look through that keyhole that we have and extrapolate from that.
That's all we can do.
That's why even the things you're describing, it's theories.
Yep.
We can't really prove any of that, right?
Well, there was the Enigma experiment,
right,
which showed the actual telepathic shockwave from coming out of nothing, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So basically, that's the first time that we were able to
create something out of nothing.
Literally,
right. Wow.
Create something, and we didn't have to use any type of static, you know, electricity.
It was just out of nothing.
It literally came out of nothing.
I didn't know that.
Right, right.
Before we were using,
and as we know, nothing comes out of nothing.
I was going to say, I was like, my mother says I make something out of nothing all the time. That was the worst joke ever.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that you have this brain on you. This is insane.
Yeah, you know, but
you guys are too kind.
Yeah, no, I mean, but this is, we've been talking a lot about this stuff.
Yeah, we've been in this pathway
because we're already over all the TV shows and all the
we're onto God.
Stuff.
We're onto more scientific.
Yeah, we're trying to solve the problems of the world now.
So I have a real question for you. You have a brain that is incredibly special, obviously. How worried are you about CTE in boxing, to be super duper honest?
Okay.
See, if you don't know CTE, guys, it's you know, and you've heard about the football guys, that if you get pounded in the head a lot, your brain can develop really holes and you can have dementia, and a lot of them either you can pass early or you can become depressed. So I was like, I want to know how you feel about that.
That's a very relevant question as well. And it's definitely a concern. For doing it for 15 years now, some of my friends and my other good friend that is happens to be an agent, she said, you know what, if you do want to progress on in a career in acting entertainment, you do have to kind of slow down on the
boxing.
Yeah. On the boxing. Everybody was saying this for years. They said, you know, when are you going to just basically stop?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And everyone said, no, seriously.
No, seriously, I mean, stop.
People were literally, you know, and it's to stop the boxing career about 4 years ago, and people even said that, and I'm saying that I'm retiring this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Good, good. Wow. Good for you. But let me ask you this. What was the attraction to boxing for you in the first place? Why have you been doing it?
I think self-defense. And it was really, you know, got addicting at that time. It was like, oh, my God.
Really?
Because you sort of needed it. You said in sixth grade you were punching kids.
Fighting.
Yeah. So, like, I grew up at the mascot was the grasshopper. So I am very lame. We're all peaceful kids. But, like, if you grow up and need boxing, I can get why you go into it, right?
But that's normal. You're supposed to actually live that way when you're living tranquil.
Yeah.
Because we're human beings. We're not animals. Well, some people think that we are, you know, with Darwinism. But we're civilized people and humans. So we're supposed to actually live in that type of tranquility.
Right.
And if you are in an unhealthy environment, unfortunately, then boxing may and martial arts may be
your saving grace.
Yeah, right. Makes sense. Basically.
Yeah, makes sense. So now, with that worldview and stuff, how does God figure into your life at all?
You know what? And this is the saddest thing. I've never really been a religious person.
Right.
I grew up around it. A lot of people in my family, they said, oh, my God is the reason. God is the reason for the season.
Right.
But I don't want to say scientifically that there is kind of a contrary. But then again, it may have some type of linkage when we're talking about.
What we were talking about.
Telepathic.
Right.
That something had to.
I mean, do you think there's something intelligent out there that created this, or do you think it was all random?
I don't believe it was technically random. I do believe that this was based upon necessity, meaning that that stimuli had to come from a rhythmic origin. They have a vertex in space that was positioned a particular way because it had to expand, it had to get bigger, and it had to develop. And when you create that perfection, believe it or not, nothing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But if you want to actually grow and have growth, then you become imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's why the expansion occurs.
So sounds spiritual to me, though.
Mm-hmm. Metaphysical.
It's hard for scientists, and I grew up among scientists, to be or admit that they're spiritual because they're based in proof, right?
Conjecture.
Yeah, conjecture. It's like the hypothesis needs to have a proof, right? So it is hard, but that did sound real spiritual, I got to admit.
You know,
in a nice way, in a good way, you know.
I would even say alchemy.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure.
Alchemical science would then say that, you know, you have something because there was something there before.
There was a reaction.
There was a reaction. Yeah. But to say that it was just merely God, there was a higher intelligence or a higher frequency.
Right, right.
There's a higher frequency, but I don't know if we want to call it.
Right, you don't want to label, but you do feel there's a higher frequency.
I do believe that there is a higher frequency out there that has levels that can affect space-time. And even what we call space-time.
That's the best answer, right. Man, right there.
So my question to you is this. Do you feel without intelligence like that the Big Bang would have ended up 14 million years, 12.9 million years, the way we are now, without any intelligence behind it? I mean, cosmic dust becomes people, becomes, you know, everything else that we have, our thoughts, our energies, our, you know, feelings, our ability to think, all that would happen without intelligence, do you think?
And that's another very, very good question.
That's deep.
That's a good
Super deep.
No, well, yeah. Because the thing is this. Is that
Grand Canyon deep, Sam. I like it.
Really? Because
yeah. Mariana Trench even. Yeah. I mean, that was phenomenal.
And that's why I'm saying, you know, I'm one example where I think science and God do not have to be in conflict.
Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive.
I don't think they are at all.
And I think that's what he's saying, too. You're saying that there's both.
There's both.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where I was getting to. And that's why, you know, I mean, we're not supposed to know that for a fact. We never knew and we never probably will know.
Right.
And when I asked you, what do you believe? It was hard for you to say. And you said, I don't know. But I asked you, I'm not asking you what you know, but what you believe.
I definitely believe.
And it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Right? It's hard to have faith.
It's hard,
in something that you don't see. You don't know, right?
And I do think I am more scientific based. So I really love the idea that there is a higher instrument with frequency, and if that's what I call a higher being, that works for me.
Right.
Because for instance, I grew up with a guy in a white hat with a white beard sitting on a cloud, and I was like, I just don't think this guy exists.
I know. I think most people have been raised like
that. That's right.
Turned off
and I think this kind of idea that there's a higher frequency that started the rhythm, that created the angle, that created the explosion, that created the Big Bang, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. You know, I had to concur because I also grew up like that, and just the stigma of religion.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, we're going to regress.
Yeah.
It's very relevant in the sciences today. In fact, your boy, what's his name? Mr. Hawkins even said that he actually mentioned God.
Yeah.
Which is. Right.
You know, Einstein.
So did Einstein all the time.
Mentioned God, you know, and that's
You have to, because you get to a point where we don't know anymore. So we have to believe.
And we also, we do know that what he's saying is there was some kind of frequency we can't explain.
Right.
In that sense, there is, we can say that there is something out there, you know.
Well, that's the thing. And I think it's always been there. And also when Siona was here, remember we were talking about soul and everything and things like that. You have to explain all these things. If you don't say there's God, how did these things come about? You know, what are souls? Do they come from? You know, how do you explain it? People will tell you there's no soul. Okay, so what happens when a person dies?
You wouldn't believe this. They're saying that there's actually
There's a weight.
There's a vortex.
Right.
Your soul actually does have mass.
Right.
Yeah. But also, people forget that gravity is a charged particle.
Oh. Right.
That's a new one of my, in the research that I've actually been divulging.
Wow.
It's a charged particle. So there's polarity.
Wow.
That attracts almost as if it was a black hole.
Right.
And there's two different sides of that. And once you have that energy within either it's a pole star or a star itself, if it explodes, you can have that massive gravitational pull to literally attract, as you would call, souls.
Right.
So they could all go together somewhere.
They can all go to literally different dimensions of space and time.
So here's a question I have for you guys, which is relevant, and I want to know both of your answers, about the global climate change. A Republican congressman said, quote, God will take care of it. And this was yesterday. I'm not fucking talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about yesterday, okay?
Right.
God will take care of the coal and the pollution and the asthma and the tides changing and everything. And I want to know, now that we're talking about God and he said God will take care of it, do you think that whatever you're thinking of, the spiritual being or whatever it is we're discussing, would that somehow take care of fixing it?
In my
belief, it would not.
No, I don't think.
I concur with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys agree with me.
But you have to also explain why it was created in the first place, why this whole thing was created in the first place. If there is a why, you know, I don't know if there is a why.
But like scientifically, like a mountain was created from tectonic plates. Like I can talk about that. That's how, you know, continents were created. But to think that God would come in and save us from climate change makes that make sense to you?
No, I don't when whatever intelligence is out there, I do not believe it is set to interfere with our lives.
Yes.
You know?
Almost like the Red Sea and the flood, as if that were real. He thinks that some guy with a rod is going to come down.
It's not about someone being angry and earthquakes and shit like that. You know?
Isn't that insane that he said that?
Yeah.
There has to be some logic.
Yeah. So Chelsea Clinton wrote, she tweeted, the story that a rabbi gave. I think it was Rabbi Schmidt. I'm not sure, but it said God came to someone. The world was drowning and the world was overrun. And a guy said, God, help me. And a helicopter said, do you need a ride? And he said, I'm waiting for God. And then a boat came. He says, do you want a ride? He says, I'm waiting for God. And then he dies.
Yeah.
He gets to heaven. He's like, where were you? He goes, I was in the helicopter and I was in the boat. And he's like, God isn't going to be this magic thing. It's going to be man. You know, we're going to create something to help. So I just thought that was insane to say that God will fix it.
Yeah, it doesn't belong in government.
Yeah, right.
And I hate to say this, and I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but that phraseology, I don't believe that belongs anywhere.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when we start believing in things that are not proven to exist, then we begin to go into a realm of fantasy.
Mm.
It's almost like, I believe that God will catch me if I leap off of this building.
Right.
But logically, you know that you may actually have a higher probability of
passing away,
hitting the ground.
Yeah,
the laws of physics are also physics. From God.
People have to that's right. That. So I think it's interesting. I mean, you can believe in climate change or not, even though I think you're a moron if you don't. But here's what I have to say is, I don't think you can think that God will somehow come down and like cool the planet. Mm. That's what I think is so interesting, that that's someone representing a whole state.
Right,
and that was really scary to me.
That is scary, actually.
But many people do believe that God intervened.
People actually
100%. So I thought that was interesting that that's still a relevant point of thought in terms of some policymakers, that they're basing their policy on that God is going to come down and fix it.
Right.
And if we don't, so it's okay to come out of the Paris climate change. Just in case he doesn't, maybe we should stay in the Paris climate change, just in case.
That is scary. You do have to have a little bit of that duality.
Just in case.
Shuffling, just in case.
Yeah. You know. Just why don't we all work together on this?
Yeah.
When China's saying there's a problem, you should fix it.
Okay. Now, you write also, right? Did you bring us a book? I saw you brought a book or something.
This is my third book, my friend, and actually, I'm working on my fourth one.
You are a Renaissance man.
Oh, no, I'm trying to be like you guys.
Okay, now, this is not a book about going to McDonald's or anything.
No, read it.
The Theory of Alignment and Positioning.
Oh, my God.
By Keith Liddell. Okay,
you
got to tell
us
what this is about. Wow, this is math in here.
So it's about angles and positioning.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about what is it about? The sun or is it us? What angle?
It's about actually universal angular space and energy.
Wow.
And she actually hit it on the head. That's exactly what the book is. And in fact, it was based upon...
this is very technical. Oh, yeah, you can look at that. I mean, you have to be a scientist to understand this.
Oh, no, a preschooler could do it.
This is ridiculous.
Where does this stuff come to you from?
Yeah, were you like a prodigy at math?
It was God.
Jesus.
That's a horrible joke. But it comes from... everyone can do it. Everyone. We are all sentient beings. We're here... we have the same gifts, believe it or not. In fact, they're even saying that telepathy at one time was a natural human ability.
Wow.
This science is actually starting to prove this. Telepathy was natural at one time. Some of the scientists may be a tad bit apprehensive of coming out and saying, well, you know, natural humans used to be able to levitate things with their brains and communicate with everything.
Right.
But you can. We are all one vessel. And this is not a conspiracy. It's nothing like that. It's just this, you know, I want all of people to reach their highest potential.
Mm.
That's what this is about. Reaching your full potential and using everything that you have that has been given to you by the universe.
Wow.
That's true, right? So you've utilized that. So you've written two books?
This is my third one.
Oh, it's your third one. What are the other two about?
Oh, it's funny. The other one is the third number, Enigmatic Summation, The Value of Zero.
My dad read a book on the numbers, history of the number zero, and I was like, Dad, that is the nerdiest thing you've ever done. But he's like,
it's interesting.
It's so interesting. Yeah,
I know. I'm reading about stuff like that too, and I'm like, why am I reading this?
I think as you get older, you want to learn more about
the
purpose and
about the things that are around you.
You
start questioning it.
Yeah.
Oh God. And you know, it's funny. I'll actually tell you a little secret about. Well, it's not really a secret, believe it or not. But what zero equals? Does anyone have a guess on that?
I was going to say me. I have so low self-esteem.
This is a good joke.
Thanks.
That was funny.
Thanks.
Zero equals...
The absence of something?
She's on the right track. You guys are... What were you going to say, Sam?
No, nothing.
I was going to say the absence of something?
She's absolutely on the right track. And it's a dimensional value.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it's a trillionth of 1 degree.
Whoa.
That's really what zero equates to. I know some people will go, we're going to try to stick it. There's a lot of math that goes into it, and that's not the only thing.
So there's never a zero. You're saying it was like that's zero equals. Oh, I'm thinking degree. You're saying to the degree.
To a certain degree.
Yeah. Wow.
it's one trillionth of one degree. So if there's a little point or if there's a little dot, it's one trillionth of that period, of that
dot. Whoa.
Very interesting. So now, do you...
mind blown.
So you get into geometry and stuff like that too,
definitely,
right?
Definitely.
Trigonometry?
Are you doing...
You're okay with that calculus? All that
we don't do any of this here. No, we don't do that.
We only know the name. No.
These guys are very smart, believe me.
No, my thing is, are you thinking like John Nash when you're boxing? Are you seeing like graphs and like angles? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, are you the Zach Galifianakis from The Hangover when he does that?
It's funny you say that because actually you can see the shockwave when you hit something. You can see that ripple effect. And then there's even disbursement of energy too.
Sure.
That can either be white space or even blue.
Whoa.
And you can see this in the physical.
Whoa.
It's amazing.
Now, you punch hard, so you must see that force even stronger. You can really see it.
You can see it. And it's literally a shockwave. You can feel that magnetism.
Really?
It's actually electromagnetism, but it's at a high frequency.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Which is basically equating to velocity.
Whoa. Right.
Very cool.
You are blowing my mind today, sir.
Yeah, no, I mean, you've spent a lot of time learning this stuff, and it's very cool, right? Now, what do you have in store for yourself in the future? Where are you going next?
This is going
to
be my last math book. I'm done for that. And then it'll be a 4-book conglomeration.
Nice.
Basically, so everyone can see whatever. And after that, definitely going to raid Hollywood.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. If I can be accepted there, that'd be awesome. And
what's your goal in for Hollywood? Do you want to be acting?
Action star.
Like The Rock.
He's great.
He's the best. Yeah.
The Rock is the best, man. I mean, the guy, he picks up tires.
But are you kidding me? I follow on Instagram. Couldn't be better to his fans either.
He's the new LL Cool J. He might even be better.
He's bigger than LL.
He's actually bigger than LL. He probably beat up LL Cool J. That's kind of amazing.
Although his movie did sort of flop, unfortunately.
It did?
Yeah.
The Miami Adidanda?
Yeah. No, Baywatch.
Baywatch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I didn't think it would do very well.
I was so excited.
It's so cheesy.
Yeah, but I like cheesy summer movies. Yeah.
A lot of ladies actually were anticipating that because he shirt off. And
oh, yeah. No, it did not do well. It did very poorly, actually.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
But it doesn't mean anything because The Rock will be president in 2020, so it's fine.
He's going to be the president. He's actually running. You guys
on SNL, did you see him with Tom Hanks? Came out as his vice president.
Tom Hanks is also related to, is his distant relative of Abraham Lincoln.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I said, wow. But he kind of looks like him at a shorter
A little bit.
I can see that.
He's the most likable guy ever. If you had The Rock and Tom Hanks running, everyone would vote for them.
Bodyguard, too. Yeah. That's huge.
Totally.
We're so enamored with celebrities, you know? I mean, we don't want to elect anybody we haven't heard of haven't seen on TV,
right. Like, now that we have Trump here, it's like, who's John Smithel? We need Oprah.
Oh, my God. Oprah would be a good candidate.
We've all wanted Oprah to run since I was born. My family has a shrine to that woman. We all want Oprah to run. But I don't think she ever will.
No, Oprah.
She's not interested.
No. How about Will Smith? Is he ever?
So I was like saying, for my summer movies, I don't know if you guys remember, but I grew up on Will Smith summer movies. And like, he hasn't been out doing these anymore. No, so hasn't. I thought maybe the Dwayne was going to be like the new Will Smith.
Is Will Smith, is he okay?
I think he's just doing straight drama.
Oh, God.
And I wish he would do more action.
Movies have not been doing well.
Not at all.
Will Smith's movies
McFlopperstein.
Right, yeah. Ugh. But I think most of the fans of Baywatch probably want to see the TNA and stuff. So it's probably guys,
It is, and they wanted
a
girl.
Maybe they don't care about a rock.
You didn't see a female lead that you could play. You didn't see a Pamela Anderson there. You needed a Pamela Anderson, right?
Right.
That's why we're all watching Baywatch. I'm not watching for the Hoff. What the fuck? I'm not watching for the Hoff. I'm watching for Pamela.
You guys are right.
Right? Yeah. Let's all be honest. I'm a female and I'm straight, but I was still watching Pamela run.
Pamela's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous.
I've had a slight crush. With Pamela Anderson ever since the 90s and even the sex tape, I got to
absolutely
tell you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
We had, on the show, we had Tracy Bingham a few years ago. She was on Baywatch.
Oh, wow.
She was a black girl.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Very beautiful. Oh, yeah. And she was on our show a few years ago, actually. Wow. Still have pictures there.
Their bikinis going way up there.
I mean, it's really...
Who cuts that high?
Yeah.
Wow, they looked great.
Yeah.
It was just for fun to watch. So it's like, give me a lady...
Yeah.
You know.
I know. But it was, I never really watched it, you know. Ugh. I mean, I just knew of the stars.
It was just great to, your mind would just blank out when watch it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It was great.
Well, Keith Liddell, tell people how they can find you if they want to contact you and everything.
Absolutely. It's pretty simple with the Google. You could type in anywhere, any search engine, KEITHLIDDELL, and I should pop up.
Nice.
There you go. And are you available? So you're on social media and everything?
Yes.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Are you going to keep working on another world record, or do you feel it's behind you?
That was another question. And you know what? People were also saying this 4 years ago. They said, now, Keith, is it possibly behind you?
Yeah. You know, so are you going to
do it again? Is it done?
Yeah.
And it's definitely done.
It is done.
It's been, you know, even England was like, we're done with that. it was great while, and I'm very appreciative.
Sure. Do you get like a plaque?
You do. You get a plaque. You get literally the certificate. Everything.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, and included in the book, too, and everything?
Yeah. Cool. The book is on Amazon and all
that. Yeah, yeah.
But you also get, with the Hall of Fame, I was inducted into the United States Martial Hall of Fame 2 years ago.
Wow, really? Mazel tov.
That was the lucky. Oh,
wow.
That was. Oh.
Very cool. So you do martial arts, too?
Yes.
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd rather have you on my side.
Right? I'm like constantly going to be near this guy.
Right.
But it's the boxing is done.
The boxing is done. We're putting an end to it.
Good. Save that brain.
Save that brain. Exactly.
So you don't get any concussions.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Keith Liddell, thank you so much for joining us. You're a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
Very interesting man. And we wish you much. Wish you much continued success. And if you guys are into math and anything, where can people get your books?
Absolutely, that would be Amazon.
Amazon,
eBay, all the major book outlets.
So just look up his name, and you'll find it.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, sounds good. Tomorrow's Friday, so we'll definitely be here. Tori, have a good one.
You too.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.